restless dreams I walked alone. Narrow streets of cobblestone. Neath the halo of a street lamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stared by the flash of a neon light, split the night and touched the sound of silence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Criterion
Close Up.
This is episode 16. I am Mark Kearney, and I'm here, as always, with my esteemed co-host, Aaron West. Hello, Aaron.
Hello, Mark. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, doing good. We should mention we're a little bit under the weather, little sickness this time of year, so folks hear a little bit in our voices. Just wanted to let everyone know, but we're plowing through. We're excited to talk about today. We have the February releases to talk about from the Criterion Collection, and also a wonderful Criterion blogathon to talk about, give some awards, give some just how things went, and really looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm. We might have about 10 minutes of just pure coughing too, so that'll be great.
Sorry, folks. So of course, without further ado, let's bring in our guest. We have both Ruth Kerr from Silver Screenings and Christina Dion of the Speakeasy Blogs. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. And welcome back, Christina.
Nice to be here again.
And for your first time, Ruth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me. This is really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really love having you on to talk about the blogathon. It seems like a really good way to wrap things up on an audio podcast. So this is very exciting to do. So, as we move into the, and of course, this is our intro. We'll have some news items, a few housekeeping, but I do want to give both of you just a quick moment to plug your blogs, how things are. So Ruth, of Silver Screenings, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've been blogging for a few years, and the goal of my blog is to sell people on classic films. I don't necessarily go into the sociological or the political ramifications of a film. I want to appeal to people who love movies and may not consider classic film. So that's my focus.
Nice.
Very cool. Love
She's
that.
She's an advocate. That's,
that's me, baby.
She's
an evangelist.
A flag waver for classic film, waving that flag. Thank you, Ruth.
Yes, and of course, we have had Christina Dion on before for the Speakeasy, but again, Christina, a little bit about yourself.
My blog is pretty much the same idea as Ruth's. It's really just loving classic movies, really. I'm a fan, first and foremost, and I kind of use the research and the writing of it to teach myself, like my own ongoing film education, so... Yeah, all kinds of movies, any kind.
Nice.
But, you know, it's pure coincidence. We're fans of classic film, too.
Go figure. International Art House. Yeah, I mean, you can't help but be a fan of those types of films if you're into the Criterion Collection. So here we are.
Right.
Dovetails well.
Everybody should read Christina and Ruth. I read them every post, even if I haven't seen the film. So it's good stuff.
Yeah, you guys are prolific. We love seeing that. Mm-hmm. So, and as we always do on the show, if we have a new guest, we did get Christina's Criterion Connection on the show a few episodes ago when she was on, but we wanted to, and of course, that was the episode about the blogosphere. Mm-hmm. But for you, Ruth, we always like to know, what's your Criterion Connection? How did you get started with or introduced to the Criterion Collection?
It was quite by accident, actually. I hadn't really heard much about Criterion until I was in a video store one day and saw Billy Wilder's Ace in the Hole. Mm-hmm. It was not one of the ones on sale, but it didn't matter. I bought it and I've watched it several times. I feel this is a really important film, and I feel it's more timely now than when it was released in the early 50s.
Definitely.
And of course, the Criterion Selection is great. It comes with a newspaper with... you know, criticisms by Molly Haskell and director or Canadian filmmaker Guy Madden. Mm. And it's also got on the DVD, on the Blu-ray, it's got interviews with Billy Wilder and Kirk Douglas. It was an amazing find. And I thought, wow, if this is what Criterion is, I'm hooked.
Mm. I'm on board.
That's a great film. So and very relevant today. In fact, especially like this last few weeks, extremely relevant.
And
yes.
They released that was it last year in a nice dual format edition too. So really, really nice digipack. So very cool.
Yeah, thanks, Ruth.
Well, thanks for coming along with us. And as I mentioned before, our episode this week is we're talking about the February releases from Criterion coming in 2016. These were announced this past week, as they always do, typically on the 15th. The 15th was on a Sunday, so they announced it on the 16th, which was Monday. And so we'll be talking briefly about those and really a wrap-up, a celebration of the Criterion Blogathon that started Monday this week, went through Saturday, and just wrapped up. We've got some awards and some discussion, some feedback to give. Just wanted to delve into that. Really, really great week. And so thank you both again, Christine and Ruth, for being on to talk about that. So, and it was a really exciting weekend. We actually had some acknowledgement from the Criterion Collection. Very excited to see this. They included a post on their site called Criterion Fans Show Their Dedication to the Criterion Blogathon. So that was really great to see. I think it really drummed up some additional traffic, feedback from fans, folks that may not have been aware of it. Would see this post. So again, wanted to thank Criterion for acknowledging this venture this week.
It's nice that they listened, that they were paying attention. So yeah, I appreciate it. And they value their fans, even though we don't hear from as much as we'd like sometimes, but we value them back.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Criterion. Appreciate that. So, and moving on to our Facebook page, we're getting pretty close, Aaron. We're at sitting at about 985. We got about 15 to go to get to 1,000 likes. So, yeah, what do you think?
I don't know about you, but I like those little milestones. So, I'm hoping we get pretty close. And so, I guess this is usually we ask for reviews or that sort of thing. But this week, let's ask for people to, if you don't like the page, please go to facebook.com/CriterionCloseUp and click that little like button there. And if you already like it and you have like film geek friends, hit that suggest friends thing and get us to 1,000. It would just make us feel good. We don't have any awards. We're all awarded out from this blogathon.
just a cool milestone.
We'll give you a handshake or a virtual handshake.
An air kiss.
An air kiss, yes. we could get in trouble with that, but. Anyway, please like us. We'll like you if you like us. There you go.
Appreciate that. And, like Aaron said, if you're into film, even if, folks that like to listen to podcasts, maybe they'd like to listen to our show. So appreciate that. And lastly, for housekeeping, just wanted to mention our next episode. So we are looking to do Dress to Kill, the Brian De Palma film, next weekend. We are also looking at delving into the Apu trilogy in some form or fashion. Not sure if it's going to be full episode, shortcuts. And we also have a 310 to Yuma episode coming up soon, too. Probably a close-up eventually. So
that one's going to be a solo bolo, as some people might say. That's just going to be yours truly. And I was planning to do it this week. It just depends on if I'm sick and of course, the holidays. But it could pop up Tuesday, Wednesday if I have time. I've already done all my research. And there's another we've mentioned that we have surprise guests around the corner, which we still do. Well, we mentioned we had one. We have two, actually. Really, really exciting surprise guests. So we're not going to say who they are. We're just going to say they're awesome and that people are going to be like, yeah, when they hear it.
Fully expect reaction. For
both
sure.
of them, one especially, people are going to be stoked. Very, very close tie-in with the Criterion Connection. So, we're looking forward to those. And that will probably be the December episode. And then we have a super cool one in January, too.
Awesome. Can't wait for those. So more reviews to come and some surprise guests to look forward to. So jumping into the news, we wanted to talk about the upcoming releases. We have two coming out this Tuesday, Aaron.
Yeah, we have Don't Look Back, which is a documentary about the Bob Dylan by D.A. Pennebaker. Pennebaker, I might have butchered that, which is about Bob Dylan right before he went electric. They kind of follow him around on tour, get some inside peeks at what life was like. Even if you're not a Bob Dylan fan, I think it's a pretty exciting documentary. Has stacked release, too. So many features. So it's actually about 90-something minutes of a film, but just looking at the features, it must be hours of supplements. So, and then we have Akiru. Ruth, do you want to talk about Akiru since you reviewed it this week?
I love Akiru. It is a must see film. It's a story of a man's search for significance and meaning in post-World War II Japan. I streamed the version and it was gorgeous. It's a methodical, deliberate look at a man's life told in two different parts, from his perspective and then from the perspective of his employees and his peers. It's astounding. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's cool. Quite a way they pull off that second part too. That's yeah, and that's an upgrade, a Blu-ray upgrade. So, yeah.
Your review, Ruth, was great. I was just reading it this week, so really appreciate that. It's one that I know you'd mentioned it too. It's seen by many as Akira Kurosawa's best film, at least by some. And of course, it doesn't involve samurai at all. So it's.
Right.
And I haven't seen the film, but look forward to the Blu-ray upgrade as an excuse to finally catch up with it.
Yeah, it's about a businessman. Really, really exciting, isn't it?
So that's the upcoming releases. And this week we had a couple other films actually released. We had a big box set, but first wanted to mention the single release that Christina reviewed this week on her blog.
In Cold Blood.
The
Truman Capote bestseller turned into the movie by Richard Brooks, and it looks unbelievable. It's amazing, the picture and the features, which I kind of went over in my post. And some of them, I mean, I only touched on a few details. There was so much in those features with the biographer interviews and cinematography insights and talking about Quincy Jones' music in the movie. Mm-hmm. And it's just a fabulously, well, I mean, a harrowing, obviously, experience and chilling film with amazing performances. So that's a big one. I'm really impressed with that.
Yeah, Christina, you probably single-handedly sold more copies of that film than anybody else with your review.
I believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was. Well, thanks. Yeah, it was something else. And I mean, that's hard. It's almost hard to, talk about that movie because it's so powerful. And I mean, there's no horror film that is as disturbing as something that gritty and real. And the thing that I learned in that one, too, that I wasn't even aware of is how much they shot on actual locations in the actual clutter house with and they had the actual jurors and, in the courthouse and everything going after realism. So that was really fascinating to learn all that.
Yeah, and I don't know if you've read the book, but and of course you can't adapt a book straightforward into a narrative film, but I think they really capture the essence of the book and the true crime. So yeah, that's a really exciting release, and your review was tremendous, Christina. So thank you.
Thanks.
I loved it. Thank you. And so we did have a big box set come out this week, Aaron. Folks may be familiar with it.
Huge box set, the Apu trilogy, which I called the release of Criterion's lifetime or something. So I can't remember.
Lifetime Achievement Award. Very nice.
Yeah, I did say it's something they should be proud of, and they should. It's fantastic, and I did review it for this blogathon, and had a great time with all the gorgeous films, gorgeous restoration, and I've seen. I'd seen the first two old restorations, and the new ones, and they were okay. I mean, they're not as bad as you might expect when you hear about the restoration, but the new restoration is just crisp, clear. I mean, there's a couple points where you might notice, and I noticed it because I was looking, maybe like a wavy line, but it's just looked gorgeous. It's if you're a fan of film, I don't care if it's modern, classic, foreign, American. These movies are just lights out, so check them out. But they are a little, never mind.
Yeah, they are.
I loved your review. I've only ever seen the first one, so I can't wait to get to the others.
So you know what a gut punch of the first one is. Be warned.
There may be more coming. Yeah, it's a great release. I really appreciated just reading your review too, Aaron. I mentioned it on the blog, but it brought back those same feelings that I had watching the film. So that's a credit to your writing. Nice work.
Thank you. It's both tragic and life affirming, is what I found. So it's
absolutely
bittersweet, but it's just a remarkable experience. So I'm sure a lot of people were picking that up at Barnes & Noble.
Yes. Yep. So again, yeah, that came out this Tuesday and dovetails well into there's some coupons coming out. As folks know, Black Friday is a big buying event, and Barnes & Noble stays with that. And so coming on Thursday, actually it will be coming Thursday, there will be a 30% off coupon. I did see that it's a single-use coupon possibly, but it is a there's one code for everybody. So it's not to say that you couldn't give one to your friend and have them pick something up for you. But from November 26th to 29th, that coupon will be available. So that's from Thursday through Sunday, as their coupons typically are. And then coming Monday, of course, that's Cyber Monday, and they're going to release another coupon of 25%. So that'll be coming on Monday. So if you need to pick up Apu or some other stuff that's already 50% off, you can save some extra money at Barnes & Noble. And again, a reminder that the sale is scheduled to go through that Cyber Monday, the 30th. So if you're looking to pick something up and have it yet, that is, as far as we know, will be the last day. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, this actually ties into the Apu trilogy a little bit of a spoiler, but a little bit of a leak from Criterion. I don't know if they meant to show this or not, but what did we see in the special features, Aaron?
Right. Well, in the last disc, Apu Sansar, which I'm probably butchering that as well, as I'm prone to do. But one thing about Apu is the supplements for each disc really don't necessarily reflect that disc. They kind of reflect the entire trilogy to a certain extent, not maybe entirely. But the last feature is all about the restoration. And it's about, I think it was 15 minutes. And this was actually kind of neat, you know, because I went to Criterion earlier this year, and I noticed it immediately. But they go inside the offices well beyond where I was allowed to go. And so you see a little, I guess, a kind of a peek behind the curtain of how the operation works. We see Peter Becker is interviewed. A number of, you know, high-up people in Criterion are interviewed. There's one scene that had a bunch of pictures of cover art on the wall, and a lot of them were for, you know, I think there was Code Unknown. There were a lot of releases we are already aware of. But somebody, actually Trevor, our good friend from, our ghost from Mulholland Drive, and our friend from the Geek Fest, he actually caught that, he zoomed in, and we're getting 4 months, 3 weeks, and 2 days by another name I'm about to butcher, Christian Mungu.
Mungu, I think it
Mungu,
is, but
okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I told you.
It's tough.
It is, and speaking of tough, that movie is, and speaking of gut punches, I've seen it. It's a good movie. Very, very difficult movie. It's about abortion. Anyway, so when I saw that, I was tempted to go frame by frame through that entire thing to see what I would find, and I'm sure some people will now that it's out. That was a great find there, Trevor, and you know, with the cover art out, maybe it's out in the next couple, 3 months maybe. Have you ladies seen it?
No, I haven't.
All right. Well, you're in for some some heartbreak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I liked it quite a bit. Like in quotation marks. So it's he had another one. Beyond the Hills was the last film. So that's another good one. But this is the best place to start, I think. So looking forward to that release.
And I haven't seen that one, but it's also rumored. And so I would assume that, you know, the ice is broken with this release. I think we can call this a confirmation. So more than likely, we'll see that eventually as well.
Cool. So another release that was really confirmed, as far as we know, this was from Frau Blucher on the Criterion Forum. So this person spoke with Bruce Goldstein, actually of Rialto and the Film Forum in New York City. And he was asking about Chimes at Midnight, the screening in a couple of months, and just wondering if it was different than what was screened last year. And the statement from Mr. Goldstein was, it is a newer restoration. And he'd asked about had they seen the restoration yet? And the answer was no, but it's coming from Janus/Criterion, so it should be good. So that sounds like a confirmation, probably coming, you know, maybe sometime the first half of this year.
Yeah, there were a lot of Orson Welles films, that, especially his Shakespeare films, that were rumored to be coming out. Actually, I think they might have even been confirmed to come out fall of last year, or this, well, we're in fall of this year. Right. I just think about the releases because they've already announced them. But yeah, didn't happen. So I think Othello, Macbeth, and maybe this, maybe a box set.
I was going to say, it sounds like a box set. And maybe that's why it got pushed, too. Maybe they were working on the special features and wanted to put a good edition out. So,
and with Uncle Lou coming out, they wouldn't want to, you know, have two box sets at once. So,
maybe. Right. Yeah. Sounds like an early, you know, early to mid 2016 release. So we'll
hopefully,
see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely need some more Orson Welles for sure. So it looks like we can stream. This isn't coming from Criterion, but has a little bit of a connection. Something coming from Fandor, Aaron.
Well, yeah, Jacques Rivette has very much been talked about in our circles lately because the Arrow release is coming, and then the Carlotta films, and Criterion has teased in their newsletter what looks to be Paris Belongs to Us. So that could be imminent, or maybe a few months down the road. Who knows? But Out One is also streaming on Fandor, which is so if you have 12 free hours to spend over your holidays, and for those who don't know, it's a 12-hour kind of, well, if you know Rivette, I don't know if I'd call him experimental, but he's definitely artistic. So yeah, I've been told that's not a best barrier of entry. You know, 12-hour movies usually aren't.
Right.
But and actually, I've heard
good follow-up.
Paris Belongs to Us and maybe Le Pont du Nord are better entries. Maybe Celine and Julie Go Boating are big ones. Are you ladies Rivette fans at all, or even know them?
I'm not that familiar. No, I'm not that familiar with those films.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything either. Of course, the Le Pont du Nord, as you mentioned, Aaron, that is from Masters of Cinema, if anyone's region free. So good one to start with, check out. And I think most of the DVDs are out of print, so it seems like we're getting kind of a Rivette renaissance, so to speak. So,
and yeah, and he's really not very well known in America, and that's evident. Ruth didn't know him.
Right.
But that's true.
He was nothing against you, Ruth, but he was a central figure in the French New Wave, just for maybe because he's a little more artsy, although Godard is pretty artsy and tough barrier of entry there, but he just hasn't been really made it overseas. So that looks to be changing here in America.
Yeah, and so we have another update on Mr. Gaspar Noé. We wanted to mention there was another, not really essay, but some snippets about his visit to the Criterion collection and some about the interview that they had. So Criterion posted on their site, it was called Kitchen Conversations, Gaspar Noé by Hilary Weston. And so he did visit there. This kind of makes more sense as you read it, that he was there in New York City for the premiere of his new film, Love, his 3D cinematic sex odyssey, as they called it. So, and so he stopped by the office there, and he was, a couple things I noted, they mentioned that he is more reserved than you might expect for someone that is such a provocateur. I don't know. Quiet guy, I guess, and provocative. He did talk about how he is a poster collector. So he has he has a Sallow poster hanging on his bedroom wall. And he did talk more about Sallow too, how he's just interesting to, I mean, you've got to read the post because he talks about it as being, what did he say? It's not about the eyes, it's about what's behind and how it's a cruel film, but not the images that are cruel. And I'll leave it at that. There's not really, you really should read it. If we always joke on Sallow as being one of those films that is notoriously hard to watch, and folks may wonder why it's in the collection, but maybe Mr. Noé can inform that a little bit. So, Christina, Ruth, have either of you seen Gaspar Noé, any of his films?
Irreversible is the big one. I mean, that's disturbing and powerful, is to put it mildly, I would say.
Mm-hmm. A lot of gut punches on this show.
Yes.
Or, you know.
And bruising.
Other punches.
He's a hard one to watch. It's he was talking about in this essay from Criterion, or this post from Criterion, about how it's all fake, about how you know it's a movie. And it kind of reminded me of getting back to Mulholland Drive, the Nohai Banda. So,
Nohai Noah. Yeah, his is not fake enough. He's talented as a filmmaker for sure, but and maybe I'll give him another shot. Maybe a Criterion release might tempt me.
Sure, sure. Well, it sounds like you need to watch Love for sure, Aaron, so I'll send you a copy.
All right.
So that's it for the introduction and news, and next we wanted to talk about the February releases, so we'll transition into that with some music from Mr. Charlie Chaplin's The Kid. So for the February releases, we wanted to mention that, you know, with these, we'll talk about them briefly, and we will have clips and trailers available on the blog site. So definitely check those out if you want to see a trailer there, clips from the films. Also wanted to mention, have to give a shout out to Ryan Gallagher and his Criterion cast. They did post this week a show including all of these releases as they usually do. They went in depth on them. We're going to keep it a little bit briefer. So thanks again, always, Ryan, for hosting that. We do appreciate that.
Yeah, and this time it was just him and David. And David, of course, is part of the blogathon, and they shouted out the blogathon. So thanks guys for that as well.
Yeah, love that. So the first one to mention, this is coming February 9th. It's actually a dual release, two Blu-rays, three DVDs. This is The Immigrants and The New Land. 1971-1972, Jan Troell is coming out. So this is a monumental mid-19th century epic from Jan Troell. We got Here Is Your Life this past year. Mm-hmm. And over the course of the two films, a poor Swedish farming family's voyage to America and their efforts to put down roots in this beautiful but forbidding new world. And so, Christina, I understand that you've seen at least one of these films.
Yeah, I have, and I'm the one of the Liv Ullmann has actually the same name as character's name as my name, which is very rare in films. Anyway, that always appeals to me.
That's
but,
funny.
I remember
your full name or just your first name.
Feldaway, yeah, Christina with a K. I never see that in movies or anywhere. But I remember this was a very big deal to my parents when it came out. You know, as foreigners coming, you know, to America, Canada, and it's a Swedish film, which is, I know it was a big budget for them at the time. It would have been the most expensive one.
Oh, wow.
If I recall what I was, you know, have read about it over the years. And it's interesting as a foreigner's view of the new land, you know, it's always going to be more rich and more positive than for those of us that are born here and take it for granted, really. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious to see that again.
Mm, yeah, I can't wait. You know, I haven't seen any Troll before. So I think we need to watch Here Is Your Life and then maybe do a double feature of these two.
Yeah, we could have an epic episode.
Yeah, a 9-hour episode.
This one also stars, of course, Max von Sydow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the two of them together, again, like they were in Bergman's Shame. It's very, mm-hmm. very cool.
Yeah.
So, and you know, just the subject matter, too. I mean, this has been covered by Criterion to an extent in a film like El Norte. So I think it really is a great kind of entry point into drama and, you know, of course, about the settling of America. So I really can't wait to see these.
And also Alan Brista. And wasn't there a Chaplin film about immigration?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's the short, The Immigrants.
Yeah.
It's like 20 minutes long. Yeah. So it transitions well into the next release.
Right.
from February 16th, we're getting the 1921 film, The Kid. So that's, I should mention, Immigrants in the New Land, that's spine 796 and 797. The Kid is 799 on the cusp of 800. And there's a couple of cuts of these this film that's out there, 1972. So curious, Aaron, what do you think about The Kid?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Chaplin liked to tinker with his work, and so he liked to revise it and come out with new versions. Of course, if anybody's seen The Gold Rush, the Gold Rush disc is the original version, but there were two other versions that he recut, which are still good, but not as, I mean, they're different. With The Kid, it's the original is 68 minutes, And then he cut it in 1972 to 52 minutes.
Wow.
Right, so that there's 16 minutes there that are unaccounted for now in the actual feature, and there's not an alternate version there. There are some deleted scenes, and I think probably a lot of those, maybe all of them, are going to be on the deleted scenes. But yeah, and some people are a little upset about it. I personally don't really, I'm not too bothered by it. It's of course the Chaplin estate, and you know they. Charles Chaplin tended to value his last revision of his work more than the original. And a lot of filmmakers are like that. Tati was like that as well. So you know they're really just valuing his wishes, and you know we can kind of get an idea what the original is like from the deleted scenes. So I'm not too upset about it.
Yeah, it's you gotta respect that. So Christina, Ruth, and have either of you seen The Kid? Any thoughts?
Oh, I love The Kid, and I find that it's not a movie you can watch without the tissue.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
that's a theme.
Yeah,
Buster Coogan, or is that his name?
Jackie Coogan.
Yeah,
Buster Coogan.
Yeah. really, the first child star actor. So yeah. So cool. Well, that's the Kid from Charlie Chaplin, and I don't know. Aaron, I think we talked about The Immigrants. We talked about The Kid. It seems like we've got that Criterion crystal ball, but there are a few coming up that we weren't really on our radar at all. Number three is this is coming February 16th. Death by Hanging. This one is spine number 798, 1968 film from Nagisa Oshima.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of Oshima. Probably both are incorrect.
I'm sure.
But I haven't seen this, it's one. Usually, when people talk about Oshima's major works, they mention Death by Hanging. They also mention Boy, Cruel Story of Youth, of course, In the Realm of the Senses, and then the later Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence, and the latter two were both already on Criterion. So yeah, I'm excited for this. We talked about it on the Geek Fest as a possibility, but you know we talked about 200 movies on the Geek Fest,
right?
So yeah, I think hopefully it sells well, and we get Boy eventually, because I believe Criterion has the rights to that. And so yeah, even though I haven't seen this, it's been on my radar for years, and I've actually been waiting for this version, and I can't wait to delve into it. Really excited.
Love
his work, Violence at Noon, from this period. There's a good eclipse with Oshima that has a lot of his work from around this time. So recommend people check that out if they like Death by Hanging.
Yeah, good time to pick up the eclipse set with the sale going on, you know, before this comes out in February. So, yeah, I guess it is based on I don't know how directly, but at least based on true events or a true story. So certainly informs that a bit. So have either of you seen any Oshima, Christina, Ruth?
No.
No, I haven't either.
he's another tough one. It's kind of a going theme here, but
well, you know, he's kind of experimental, but from what I understand, this one is less so. And of course, In the Realm of the Senses is compared to Salo, Caligula,
explicit sex.
yes, that's so. It. So. But this I understand is softened and is a more linear watch. I could be wrong. I haven't seen it, so we'll see.
Yeah. So and the next one, I mentioned spine number 800, and here it is. This is a very big release for Criterion. We're getting on February 23rd the 1967 film The Graduate from director Mike Nichols. So yeah, this is a biggie. It's from Benjamin Braddock, of course, starring Dustin Hoffman, has just finished college and is already lost in a sea of confusion and barely contained angst when he becomes sexually involved with the middle-aged mother, Anne Bancroft, the young woman he's dating, which is played by Catherine Ross. So
hey, Mark,
this is another stacked release.
Are you trying to seduce me, Mr. Herney? It was either that or plastics. You have to make one of those two jokes.
I love it. I'm glad you made the seduction one. That's good. this is great. This will be another big seller like Mulholland Drive. It includes a 5.1 surround remix approved by the director. DTS Master Audio, and of course we've got the 4K restoration. So, and folks can see on the site the special features. It's absolutely stacked. I mean, it's got two commentaries. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. You know, again, it's got it's actually one from 2007 with featuring Nichols with a conversation with Steven Soderbergh, and another one with a scholar, Howard Zubair. This is my only concern with so many supplements, again, is, you know, I hope it doesn't hurt the picture quality mm-hmm. so much being on one disc with with the film, but I'm sure it will look great and be just a stellar release, hopefully a digit pack. So any thoughts on The Graduate?
Well, I think Dustin Hoffman is amazing in this film, of course, and watching this film, you can tell he was destined to be a big movie star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of, when films like this come out, I really envy the younger people who are going to be seeing it for the first time.
Oh, yeah. That's a great
because
point. Because
they're going to see where it influenced in cinema. This one has such a big influence on filmmaking and style, and not only in the reflecting, you know, kind of the aimless youth of the time, which was, in itself a new thing, but it influenced so much style of directors that come after, too. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this is absolutely. An important part of the American New Wave. You know, this yes, Bonnie and Clyde, yeah. You could really, I think, kind of distill it down to those two.
Yeah. If folks want a little entry point, too, and if you haven't read or seen it's a book on tape and a book by Mark Harris. He published Pictures at a Revolution, 5 Movies and the Birth of the New Hollywood. And, of course, this is one of the movies that was up for Best Picture that year. So it's a really great read. And I had seen, I actually hadn't seen the film until probably about 3 years ago, and I was just blown away by it. So it's fantastic. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, too, our friend Keith Enright had posted some pictures on Facebook. This was in the collection previously on a Laserdisc, and it's back from the grave. So nice to see that come back. I'm sure Keith was excited.
And Mark, I've actually read that book too, but I read it on book.
Oh yeah, it's a great listen. I got it from the library, so it's a nice audiobook if folks want to check it out. So that is the Graduate. We'll hear a little bit more about that a little later. And lastly, the also coming out on February 23rd will be I Knew Her Well. This is getting into the 800 spine numbers, 801, 1965. This is from an Italian director, Antonio Pietrangeli. Aaron, you're a little bit familiar with this one?
Well, the most of us. this one was it's about as out of left field as they can get, I think. Yeah. I think there was some sort of tease. I found somebody mentioned that it was aware that Criterion had the rights long ago. But it's not a very popular film in America. It's an Italian film. It stars Stefania Sandrelli in a lead role, and some people might know her from other releases. I've seen her in Seduced and Abandoned. She's in The Conformist, and she's in Divorce Italian Style. I know The Conformist is not on Criterion, but it's pretty well known. It's another kind of sexual drama. Probably one of those that kind of pushed into America, you know, towards the end of the code. This is 50. What year was it?
1965.
Never mind. I told you I haven't seen it, so it was post-code. Yeah. Well, the movies in the 60s were pretty licentious as well. And in fact, the clip I pulled for this is a clip of her in bed. It's not a sexual clip, but it's just a clip of what you can expect from the movie. I do have some friends that have seen it. I haven't seen it. None of us have seen it, but my friends say that it's excellent and it's a real gem. So it could be one of those, every now and then Criterion kind of has these finds that are off everybody's radar. It could be one of those.
Yeah, it seems like they have one of those, you know, just about every month. So really appreciate that. It's you never know, these off the radar films can grow to become one of our favorites. So mm-hmm. Looking forward to it.
Il Sorpasso was one of those. Not many people expected it.
And, yeah,
and a lot of people loved it.
So that's the Criterion February releases that are coming up in 3 months. So we'll look forward to those. And as we transition, I Can't Stand It. I know you planned it. We're going to transition with a little bit of Sabotage into the Criterion Blogathon.
It's Blogatage.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Criterion Close-Up. I'm Mark Herney here with Aaron West, and we have our special guests, Christina Dion of Speakeasy and Ruth Kerr of Silver Screening Blogs. And they're here from, to talk about the Criterion Blogathon from this past week. Very exciting. You can hear some of the Beastie Boys underneath my voice. And we absolutely loved, had a great time with reading everything, all of the feedback, so many posts, so much great writing, so much excitement around this. It was really incredible. And, you know, as someone really kind of on the outside looking in, this is my first blogathon. I didn't even know what a blogathon was leading up to this. And, you know, it was a reason for me to start my blog. It was incredible. And, you know, we had so many people into it. And obviously Criterion was aware of it. And really showed their appreciation by the post that they had. So I'm going to turn it over to Aaron to lead us through this. We just want to wrap up and talk about this wonderful thing that happened in this past week. So Aaron, lead us out.
Wonderful. Yeah. What a week. Right, ladies?
Yeah, absolutely.
My blogging buddies. Yeah, we've just been chilling in Twitter all week talking about like a gazillion messages about this this event. So yeah, no, a phenomenal week, and I'm so glad you both could join us, because I mean, we really kind of it's almost like it's been so exciting, but it's also been like we've been through something, like an experience, just major. Now, and this was my first blogathon, and I don't mean this in like a, you know, try to pat ourselves on the back, but this was not my first blogathon. It was my first one running one. But have you been in any that have been nearly this big or this epic? Hate to use that word, but have there been bigger ones?
I haven't. Yeah. And Christina, I know that the Villains Blogathon had, you know, they tend to get a lot of response, but nothing like this one.
No, and I think also it was different in the feeling of it was different too, because when you're entering through the Criterion Collection, you're automatically looking at the greatest films of all time, and right away your approach to that, everybody's approach to it was just unbelievable. It was amazing. It was just an amazing week. All the work, the enthusiasm, the support, and the tweeting, and everything that went on.
That's awesome.
Wouldn't you say it was more? I don't know. Maybe this is not the right word, but more reverential towards the material.
And
scholarly, I would say too, because the approach to the writing was just. I mean, it was like a film school crash course, really.
Mm-hmm. In that week,
I have learned so much about movies that I love, and have some that I've never heard of that I want to see now that maybe would not have been on my radar before. So it was amazing. And like the last time I was here, when I was saying about trying to explain what a blogathon was to people who, you know, maybe had never been part of one, I mean, you couldn't have a better demonstration of what it can be. It was just so much appreciation from blogger to blogger, from readers who were leaving comments and tweets and things to each other.
That's
and
something, yeah.
So, and I love that it was the first one for so many people. You know, what a great experience they had at their first blogathon. I think that was just fabulous.
You know, I would agree with that. With brand new bloggers, I think it was a great baptism into not only blogging, but film community. There are people who had very, very new blogs that had joined us. And it's good for long-time bloggers to read theirs, and for them to see what long-time bloggers have been covering as well.
And some of the newcomers came out with some amazing stuff, too. And we're going to get into some of that. But also, you know, you mentioned the academic side. We kind of sometimes refer to Criterion as film school in a box. But really, like this week, you know, I almost feel like we should hand out film studies degrees to people that read all the posts.
I know.
I mean, there's just so much to learn. And the last day, you know, these long mammoth essays, just, you know, and it felt, I mean, in a good way, like school, like a fun class you enjoy reading through. But no, it was amazing. Just so you know, I was in the beach party. I backed out of the beach party. I was in the villain, but I followed along on Twitter. And you both run a very festive event like a blogathon. But compared to those, and of course I was on the outside looking in on those two. But did you feel like this was more like more social media, more Facebook kind of stuff, or
I enjoyed the once the hashtag got going. I mean, that was really fun to follow that, because people were it was almost like we would kick off the hashtag and it just took a life of its own, and people were commenting on each other's posts and getting to know each other. I thought it was so cool. It was like a giant cocktail party.
I also really noted that a lot of people would say this was one of my favorites and tweet somebody else's a link to somebody else's
that
post.
That was great. Yeah.
Yeah, love that.
And there was a lot of that too. And yeah, mm-hmm. just by following the hashtag, you'd see people connecting with each other. It was, and the hashtag, and I don't know what Twitter app you use. I use Twitterific, and it just shows like a stream of posts. Mm-hmm. But the most it'll show is 100 at a time. And a lot of times that, like, you know, I would step away for an hour or two and I'd refresh and, you know, it would go over that 100 and I would. So it was just so active. It was crazy.
It was amazing.
Yeah, so I wasn't trying to pat us on the... Well, no, I think we actually deserve to be patted on the back.
Absolutely. You deserve a big pat on the back, all three of you. It was great.
But this is my first one on the organizing side, so I was really thrown into the fire. But no, it was a blast. It was really something else. Well, ladies, I thought we'd... And you too, Mark. I thought we'd talk about how the project began. And actually, I was trying to rack my brain of... And Christina, maybe you remember it more, but I can't remember if you approached me or if I approached you.
Oh, it was you. I'll tell the story.
Okay, go ahead.
you approached me. I mean, the genesis is you. It's Aaron. And you came to, you said, you know, it would be a really cool idea, a community. I could see a whole community of bloggers getting into something that would be attached to Criterion movies. Wow. That was basically it, you know, and I said, well, yeah, that's an amazing idea, so... Yeah, it was a really fantastic idea from a little acorn of an idea, a mighty oak grew.
I honestly couldn't remember if it was my idea or yours.
No.
I mean,
it's yours.
We've been talking, and I think we, mm-hmm. we talked blogathons, and we talked about the 47 one you did, and of course the other two, just on occasion. So yeah, I couldn't remember, but okay. I'm glad it worked out. And then we... You know, you'd done the other two, and we weren't sure about a third for a while. And then I saw was it the 47? Did you both do that together, or am I?
No, we did. We were at the time probably doing the beach party, I'm thinking.
That's
or
right.
Or we finished it, probably.
Yeah, and I remember I said, hey, Christina, do you think Ruth would be into this? And
let's ask her.
Let's ask her. And, yeah, Ruth, you were. Yeah, and so I'm so glad. I really think that we... like our strengths, like, you know, I think that, you know, for Criterion, of course, that's my gig. And Christina, you're great with like organizing, you know, the Google Docs stuff. And Ruth, you're good at like, well, you're great at the graphics. Those mm-hmm. are amazing. And
like, fabulous.
And you're just so upbeat too. I love your personality and bringing that and your love of, and as you mentioned before, your advocacy of film was tremendous as well, but no, I thought it was a good fit. So
yeah, you guys really complimented each other. It was just fun to see everything come together, like you said, from the graphics to the organization and the, you know, just the outpouring was really great. Really nice trio.
Well, the teasing of it was fun too. The way we were kind of rolling out the announcement, people were wondering what the heck was coming.
And that was all. Well, that was mostly all them. But the thing is, we had to keep me secret because if they saw me, they would know what it was. And actually, you and Ruth both did graphics. No, I'm sorry, you did GIFs and that sort of thing. And we're saying we have this huge. Oh, it was so funny to watch that behind the scenes, and you know, biting my tongue, and
then Aaron, you are very restrained.
I wasn't. From what you could see, I was. But no, I was clawing at my computer screen and then seeing, but laughing too. and then I was worried when you said, "Oh, it's Criterion." That, you know, I didn't know that it was going to take off. Mm-hmm. Did you girls think it was going to be this exciting or this, I guess, people would cling on to it, or?
I thought it would be big, but I didn't think it would be this big. Honestly, I didn't.
Me too.
Yeah. I thought it had the potential, you know, to just, I mean, just the amount of titles, thinking of how many titles were possible to write about, but you would never expect that people would get that much into it. No, I mean, it was so fun.
And I remember after we saw like the initial engagement, we were thinking, okay, well, how many titles or topics are we going to get? Mm-hmm. And I remember at first we're like, oh, maybe we'll get 100. Mm-hmm. And I think we got that like within a couple of days, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we were thinking, well, maybe maybe 200. And then we're like, oh, no. We have to read all these.
Got a lot of reading to do.
So we actually, we were just short of 200. In fact, I should mention the Criterion Post had a little error. They said over 100 each day, which would have been crazy. I could not have read that much.
Your eyeballs would be bugging out of your head right now if you'd read that much.
They already are. It was a lot of reading.
That was fun, though. Yeah. I mean, I love that part of it. I have to say, I think I said to one of you, or both, I said, I read a lot, but I haven't read this much in a short period of time, since school, probably. And it was fun to do that, though, because it was, you know, we left comments everywhere. We read every single word, if anybody's wondering, every single word we read of everything.
Of every post,
It was wonderful. It really was a mind-blowing to enjoy all the things that people, all the insight and all the analysis and the original twists and the approaches and everything to all these movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I should add, we've all been spoiled on, like, every title of the Criterion Collection as a result.
Right. I mean, you know, really from a feedback standpoint too, and all the entries, I mean, I think of folks who, it's almost like they're in their own Criterion closet, where you have people coming out of the woodworks who didn't know or wouldn't have imagined that they knew of Criterion or were a fan, or they may just have one or two of the Criterion Collection films that they hold dear and that they wanted to write about. So it's just very exciting to see that outpouring. It's great.
Yeah, I would say actually most of the blogs I wasn't aware of. I mean, maybe a third of them I knew. I don't know about you ladies.
Yeah, same. I would say that. It really introduced me to a lot of new blogs, and like I've been adding them to my Feedly. It's just going to burst one of these days and spill all over the floor. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting to know, you know, their writing now, because there are some amazing new people that I had never heard before.
And actually we're going to talk about a lot of these people because since we read every post, and as I mentioned, we were sitting in Twitter and we were excited too, and we were busy, but you know, we would say, oh, you got to read this one, or you got to read this one, and every day we would decide on these awards together, the daily awards, and we would vote, and you know, sometimes we would have our favorites, but I think we agreed pretty much every day, wouldn't you say?
Pretty much. Yeah,
I would say. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes we make a case for one or another, but so that was a process in itself, was just trying to figure, and that was tough.
That was the hardest thing of all of it, of the whole week, was trying to narrow down the great stuff.
And there was, I think Tuesday, for me, I think Tuesday was one of the toughest days, because we had a lot of volume that day. And maybe it's me, because I'm into foreign film and stuff too. That Tuesday was the Europe day. But I think we wanted to have four ties for the Daily Awards. And then we thought, maybe not. And what was your favorite part of it, Ruth?
I think the favorite part was, like you both just said, discovering new blogs, discovering new films. And I think it taught me a new way to look at writing about film, and a new way to look at film, just because there were so many different perspectives. And I know I tend to be, I read my niche, I have a niche that I read and comment on all the time, but I realized I really need to expand out of that.
So you read to your niece? No, that's dumb. Well, yeah, you were great. And actually both of you had great, like academic type of feedback, and you know, I've been to film studies classes, and a lot of our discussions were almost like we're grading papers.
Yeah,
that's true.
And my wife is a professor, and so we joked that you know, she's grading papers all the time. That this week I'm grading papers, but
well, it was like grading papers if all the students are way smarter than I was.
Yeah, there weren't
a lot
of F's.
That's what it felt like. I was learning from everybody. So
A plus to everybody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to get into the awards? We had daily awards every day. We picked four categories: research, portrait, original, and humorous. And we easily could have expanded this into 10 categories, but we had to draw the line somewhere, I guess. And actually, Ruth, you came up with these categories, so good job. we gave awards for each one, and so what we've done is we pulled together all the nominees, and we are going to vote/discuss them and decide. We don't know what each other's favorites are, so we're going to hash it out here, and Are we going to fight it out, ladies?
We're going to fight it out. I got my gloves on.
Should I play the Beastie Boys again?
I was going to play the Rocky theme, but now.
I'll pull your sweater over your head and
the
start.
The eye of the blogger. Okay, nobody wants to hear that. All right, well, shall we get right to it? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And Mark, you're welcome. Your vote won't count, but you're welcome to chime in. I don't know if you've read any of these, but...
Okay. Yeah, I'll chime in on some where I can. So thank you.
So we're going to start with research, the best research, and the day one winner was in the good days of classic Hollywood. In the good old days of classic Hollywood, topic was to be or not to be. Then there was Skeleton Pete. The topic was Vampire, Dreyer's Vampire. Day three was plot and theme, and that was The Tragedy of Macbeth by Polanski. Day four was Yes, I Know. Seven Samurai. Day five was A Scunner Darkly, which is a pun on a Scanner Darkly. What's a scunner?
Boat, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe,
I
don't know. But that was The Unbearable Lightness of Being. And then day six was Cinematic Scribblings, The Adventures of Antoine Doinel. So let's start with you, Christina. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to pick Cinematic Scribblings.
Okay. Why is that?
Yeah. Oh, why? Oh my gosh, that was an epic collection of pieces. I mean, that was just an amazing, amazing look into the background of the series and the life story was worked into the movie and the movie series and everything. It was just an epic piece of work.
Yeah. What do you think, Ruth?
I am also voting for Cinematic Scribblings because I thought she had posted this in five different posts. So she had the whole series, five different posts. She started posting, I think, about 2 weeks ago, maybe. And she'd add one every few days, which was really nice because you could savor each film in the series as a separate entity. But yet she tied it all together. She also, out of the four categories that we awarded every day, her post strongly reflected elements of each one. She had a good portrait of the filmmaker. She has a little bit of humor. She had a lot of research, and I felt her approach was original. So that's why I'd vote for. But I just also want to give a special shout out to Skeleton Pete.
Yes.
Because he coined the phrase Logageddon.
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah. You know, and I want to give credit to all these blogs. You know, I really liked Skeleton Pete. His was funny as well, and informative. Plot and theme, I really liked how he worked in Shakespeare. Crystal did a great job with To Be or Not to Be, and Yes, I Know, long essay about his personal favorite film. Yeah. And then Scunner Darkly was the only Tumblr, and I think he did a great job with a interesting Philip Coffin film. But yeah, we're agreeing. Surprise, surprise. But I think this one, we kind of had a feeling we're agreeing on it. I'm voting for this one because her name is Erin. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, Erin's was a new blog. I think it was new, was it?
And I think she's a relatively new blogger, yeah.
I know she, I talked to her a little bit. I know she has done some professional writing, and she's great at it. And again, her papers were like, you know, we talked about film school in a box. Hers were like academic papers. You know,
yeah.
They were sourced. They were some of the same sources, but, you know, she varied it up enough each day. I think it was actually, I didn't count them, but I think maybe 20, 30 sources. And they read great. And you know, I've seen the trilogy, the series. There's a lot more than three. There's five, I think, right? Yeah, five.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was great to re-experience it with Erin. And she, in fact, you know, with all due respect to all the other bloggers, I think if we're going to give a best in show to one for the entire series, I think she would get my vote for that as well. Mm-hmm. So. Are you with me there? Or
I am. Yeah, I second that. Absolutely.
Yes.
So good job, Erin, and welcome to the blogging scene. I subscribe to her, and I can't wait to see what she does next.
That
was terrific. All right. Well, Erin, you've won Best in Show for research. We should have mentioned prizes. We're giving out $25 gift cards to either Barnes & Noble or Amazon, which when... you think about people pouring hours and hours into for months, well, maybe not months, but yeah, actually some probably months. That doesn't seem like a whole lot if you calculate the dollars per hour. But hey, we're just people with earning a living here. So, but we will give for each category, we're giving a gift card out.
We're fueling their writing so they can get more movies to write about, so we can read some more of their wonderful writing.
Right. Very good.
And if they choose Barnes & Noble, it's right in the middle of a sale. So that's
good.
Spend it right away.
That's right. All right, so Portrait. And this one I think is going to be a little tougher.
Oh, yeah.
We have Aurora's Gin Joint, My Darling Clementine. We have Psychoplasmics with Kronos. And I should say the portrait was John Ford for Clementine and Guillermo del Toro for Kronos. We have Cinema Versus The Brood for David Cronenberg. We have Coffee Gone Cold, Yigi for Edward Yang. My favorite name, Marvel Presents Salo, BC Boys Video Anthology. And then we have Criterion Reflections, Chaplin on Criterion through the 80s, 1910s to 1950s. So this time, let's start with you, Ruth. What do you think?
Well, these were, it was really hard to pick something in this category. I mean, you've got everything from John Ford to, you know, the Beastie Boys. I loved the diversity of this. I loved how it was classic film, it was foreign film, it was newer film. It was, I think Portrait was one of my favorite categories. If the blogs could be slotted into categories, this was one of my favorites. If I had to pick one, and this one just barely edges out all the wonderful other ones, if I had to pick one, I would pick Coffee Gone Cold, the portrait of Edward Yang.
Interesting. Okay. Wow. No, brilliant. I loved it as well. But Christina, what do you say?
I have exactly the same things to say. I mean, it was a tough one. This we're really close with this one. I have the three that could easily be, you know, my first pick. But I ended up going with the Psychoplasmics one for Kronos for talking about Guillermo del Toro. So and I like the personal angle too in that profile where, you know, one of his favorite directors too. So he really, so that's my pick, the Kronos one.
Well, this is interesting, ladies.
We split.
Yeah, you know, and you're right. This was a tough category, and you know, none of these votes. You know, everything was brilliant. I know everybody put a lot of work into it. I think David put the most work into it, and David's a good friend of mine. I'm ashamed I'm not voting for him. Sorry, David, but I'm gonna vote for Aurora for My Darling Clementine. So we are split. And hers was a good post, and you know, I think she worked in the biographical materials very well into the narrative. So, well, let's see. We got Clementine, Yee, and Kronos.
Wow, what a range of things there.
That's true.
Okay, how are we going to do this?
Well, you know, I would be willing to back either John Ford or Guimero, but I don't want to be the role of the tiebreaker, and I'm reluctant to give up my defense of Edward Yang, but I would be, they're all great, so I'd be willing to go with another one.
Well, funny thing, I would be willing to go with Edward Yang or...
Okay, let's do it!
Or Kronos.
Edward Yang.
Ruth just wants to agree. Yeah, actually, okay, I'll change my vote. I will go to Edward Yang. Because I think the essay, it was a two-part essay, which he actually, he put part one up in the morning and then part two in the afternoon. I think it was a great portrait of Edward Yang. Have you ladies seen Yigi?
Not yet, but it's on my list.
Mm-hmm. Highly recommend it. Highly.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, like I heartily agree with that because, like I said, this one was so close. This was like a hair's breadth from most of them, actually. All five of them, I could say. I mean, we had discussions on all of these how great they were, yeah. So
and there were a lot of close seconds, too. And, by the way, even though I jumped on Ruth's side, I can be convinced. So what do you think, Christina?
Well, no, I mean, like, I have to say, you know, I could argue for any one of them, frankly. I mean, I have a number two that neither of you named, too. So, you know, I mean, that just shows you that how great these all were, equally good. So no, I'm quality totally work. Fine. I support whatever you.
Okay. You yeah. Go. My number two was Chaplin, actually. So yeah, that. But okay. Well, so does Yee Yee win, or are we gonna go to a revote?
No, I would support. I would totally support that. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. Congrats, Coffee Gone Cold. You have won the best portrait, best in show for Yee Yee.
Good.
And in fact, Coffee Gone Cold, I think it's Ryan, he was going to write two essays. He had a last day essay as well, but he poured so much into Yee Yee, and it was on a Friday, that he just didn't have time to write another one. And so I hope he still writes that one, but I guess he doesn't need to.
Yes, he does. We want to read it.
Yes.
That's right. Yes, Ryan. We do.
Write that essay. You have to write that essay before you get your gift card. I'm kidding.
That's a tough teacher, Aaron. Nice work.
You would cut the gift card in half and send him the other half when he gets.
Oh, that's brilliant.
We're kidding. We won't be that.
I know.
But we do want to read it. So he's going to hear this, and we're going to guilt him into it. All right. Well, originality. We have Sister Celluloid, Green for Danger. We have Criterion Affection, Children of Paradise. We have Film Dirt for Eraserhead. We have The Terrible Claw Reviews, Godzilla. We have Pop Culture Pundit, The Musical Pulse of Andrew Haig, This Weekend. And then we have Criterion Completion, Collecting Criterion. So this is a tough one as well. Do you agree?
Mm-hmm. I agreed.
All right, well, I started with you two last time, so I'm going to start with myself this time. Mm-hmm. And my vote is tough. I could vote for each one of these. I really like Keith's essay. I really like Racerhead. But I'm going to go with Criterion Affection. That is the fewest words probably in this blogathon. But she actually drew a picture drew a picture of the movie, which was a beautiful picture. And I just thought that was just remarkable, and there's nothing else like it. I mean, not that nobody else drew a picture, but I don't think there's anything as original to me. So that's what I'm going for. So let's go to Christina. What do you vote for?
I pick that as well, because, I mean, if we're talking originality, and I look through her art, the rest of her art, and the gallery, and browse through some amazing work there. So, yeah, I mean, I thought that was really original.
Well, slam dunk. Well, I don't know. What do you say, Ruth?
Well, I'm the curmudgeon, because as much as I loved her artwork, and I thought it was, when I first looked at it, I thought it was the Criterion artwork. Like, I thought it was from their disc. Mm-hmm. I had voted for the Terrible Claws reviews on Godzilla, because I thought that although it was very entertaining, it was also very thought-provoking. I thought it was sort of like a punch in a fist in a velvet glove type of, mm-hmm. of review, and I really like that approach. But, you know, Children of Paradise, or the Criterion Affection blog, I can easily throw my support behind that. Absolutely.
We are too agreeable. That's two Canadians for you, right?
But I did want to point out, it seemed to me that Eraserhead got a lot of attention on Twitter.
Yes.
Oh, no. Every one of these is amazing. And Eraserhead would probably be my second choice.
Yeah, it was my second. I have noted, yeah.
My second choice was Pop Culture Pundit, where he dissected the movie Weekend through the choices of the music. That approach never in a million years would have occurred to me. And I really appreciated his sort of
that was great
mind-bending way of looking at this film.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, all of these, and Keith, too, I really liked, and that's the most Criterion-y. Maybe that should have been an award.
Most Criterion-y.
How do you spell that?
Yeah, that was good. And I also, just a quick shout-out to Sister Celluloid with her look at British war films and comparing it to American war films, where it was all about the hero and the heroic deed, whereas the British films were more about the people at home and the sacrifices that they made and sort of the average everyday life of people coping with such a horrible war.
Yeah. I hers was amazing too, and the fact that I didn't bring it up is just because it was 6 days ago. So
yeah, I know.
It's from memory, but no, hers was a great start, and it would be up there for me as well. All these, and Godzilla, Weekend, tie for second.
They're all great.
Or tie for third.
All right. Well, so we have three decided. So congratulations, Michelle, best in show for original. And now we're getting to funny. Now, funny was a tricky category because Criterion movies are not always funny. and so some days, in fact, two in particular, the Asian day, your day, Ruth, and then the essay day, I guess Asia, well, there are some fun, you know, if somebody had done a house, maybe that might have been an easy pick. And then the essays, you know, if somebody, there is one that didn't show up that did horror that I could see how that could be funny. And maybe they'll come in late. But so we had to just, I guess, expand the definition into most entertaining. But I still think they're great choices. So anyway, here we go with the choices. Grand Ole Movies for Island of Lost Souls. Cinemaven's Essays from the Couch for Quai de Ufevre. You're Canadian. Can you say that for me?
No, I cannot.
I think that one gets the vote for hardest title in the Criterion Collection.
I've taken French, but Quai des Ufevre.
Probably Quai des Orfevre.
Orfevre.
Let's try that.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry.
If you roll the R, it'll sound French right away.
Thankfully, Guillaume is doing his finals right now, and he's probably not going to listen for Guillaume. Microbrewed Reviews, Fiend Without a Face. Brian Camp's Film and Anime Blog, which is Sanshiro Sugata. Checkpoint Telstar, RoboCop. And then Make Mine Criterion with parentheses, my top 10 list. So I think we'd agree, all great blogs. Oh, and by the way, before we get to the voting, Cinemaven once emailed me and said that Mark has a Barry White sounding voice.
That's very nice. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Let's start with Ruth. What do you say, Ruth? What's funny?
Well, you know, I'm going with Cinemaven's Essay from the Couch. I think Teresa is a natural comedian, and it really comes through in her writing. I love her. She's kind of a smart aleck sometimes, but she always makes you think. And even though I enjoyed all of these and would vote for any one of them, that's my pick.
Okay. Yeah. Barry White it is. What about you, Christina?
I picked that too. And I mean, there were lines in there that I still have in memory from, like, about the French pastries. So, I mean, she stuck a few lines in my head that are still there after, 5 days ago. So,
We joked about that in the comments, and she said my pastry would be Jean Moreau. I didn't disagree.
I have to say, so that's my pick, but I have to say that speaking of memorable lines, we were just going over some of these earlier today, and I mean, the one, the Fiend Without a Face one,
yes.
I laughed out loud because there was a line in that one that was like, and thus the world was saved, except for Canada.
yeah, that's right.
And then the Godzilla one, I mean, I know that it's not in this category, but I have to mention Free Humorous was the one about giving Bosley Crowther going back in time and giving him an atomic wedgie. Yeah,
that was great.
So that one gets a ribbon, an extra ribbon award.
And also a late entry was Keith Silva's Tulane Blacktop. Keith was on the show and he did top 50 something reasons, and his was hilarious too, but you know, sorry to Keith, you're late. And I think it was actually an accident that he was late, but oops. But yeah, anyway, well, my vote is not Teresa, but I think that was a hilarious post. I actually voted for Grand Ole Movies' Island of Lost Souls, which was,
that was great too.
Was not as, I mean, this is most humorous, and it was humorous, but it was not as guffaw humorous. It was, and actually, I would say its strength is not its humor. It was just a great essay, and I thought that was like the greatest one to tee. I'd say of that day, that was like the best essay, the best in show of that day.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, but if I'm outvoted, so I laughed when I read that too. In fact, I think probably in the spirit of the category, if we're going humorous, I did laugh a ton. So I'm on board. Congrats, Teresa. All right, applaud. Yay!
Hooray!
Golf clap.
Golf clap. All right, so we have winners. We have, I forgot them already. We have Cinematic Scribblings, Coffee Gone Cold, Criterion Affection, and Cinemaven's Essays from the Couch. And she can buy some movies from the couch.
Nice. Oh, very good.
So congrats, everybody.
So, okay, well, we got the tension out of the way. That went pretty well, I think.
Well, this whole process should answer your questions about what is the most challenging part of this whole week been. That was it.
Yep.
But I think it kind of went the same way, and sometimes we had different votes, but mm-hmm. not a lot of disagreement, you know, and never like, you know, you think voting juries, you know, politicians, there's a lot of hurt feelings. Definitely not in this case, at least not on my part.
No. No boxing gloves on that one. No.
Yeah, I didn't expect it. These are great girls, great ladies. Excuse me. Okay, well, we do have more to talk about the blogathon. I know that was probably the highlight, but the social media was huge. And did you expect that Criterion response? And it wasn't just the current article, but they also put a tweet out, and then they. They put it on their Tumblr. So yep. What were your feelings when that happened? That was on Wednesday, was it? Or
yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday.
I think so. It's been a blur.
That was fun. That was amazing. I loved, I went back after a few days and looked at the comments that were left on the blog post over at Criterion. Those were great, too.
Oh, I didn't see those.
Those were great. Yes, very encouraging. Aaron, you must make haste and read those.
Yes. Hi thee to the blog.
All right, I'm going to stop the cast right now. I'm going to read them. No, I'm not kidding.
All right.
But, you know, about the hashtag, just a personal note. After a while, I was typing Criterion Blogathon so much, mm-hmm. I started typing Criterion Globathon. And then, I didn't press send.
that was my entry for for your first blogathon this year was the Glob.
The Globathon, yeah.
I did the Glob. The Globathon.
I have to mention, earlier this week, I've done this at work before, when I'm trying to type an email or something, instead of typing criteria, I type Criterion. It's the Criterion influence.
Oh, so, right. I know what you mean. Okay. Yeah. But through the app Twitterific, I had the hashtag, you can save a hashtag, and I mentioned, you know, it'd show 100 at each time. So just every now and then I would just be wowed. And yeah, the retweets, I could thank like dozens, hundreds maybe of people for retweeting us. I mean, but some people really retweeted a lot. You know, James Hancock, who's a friend of the show, he's on Wrong Reel. He retweeted us a lot. Colbrax on Twitter.
Yeah.
Dr. Freaks, who also wrote The Seven Samurai, I think he retweeted everything we did. Mm. Rod Penaflor did a lot of retweets. Any jump out at you, ladies?
Classic Movie Hub.
Oh yes, yeah. yes. Thank them.
Liz, what's her now voyaging?
Now voyaging. Yeah,
she did. Yes,
she did.
Oh gosh, so many, and new people too, which is nice. I got a lot of new follows and followed a lot of new people, and
one of the new people wrote a top 10. Well, actually, it evolved into like a top 20. And I forget his Twitter, but he's a new follower as well. And he wrote just spur of the moment, wrote his favorites. So
right, it was the blog F for Films.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, right.
That was really cool. It was one of the meta things that started happening, where people were blogging about the blogathon, which is really bizarre. But cool. It was cool.
And for the record, he put me at number 2. Absolutely disagree with that. I my essay was okay, but I put all these on top of that. So, but thank you for saying that.
Nice.
I should have written the name down.
A lot of traffic from Keith Enright too, from the Criterion Completion blog on Facebook and Twitter, and it was great to see that. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Keith.
Yeah, and Keith kind of editorialized as he read. He gave reasons and sometimes little catchphrases for when he tweeted. It wasn't just retweet, and nothing was wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm probably forgetting so many people because it's just been, like I said, a blur.
Well, I know Sister Celluloid did a wrap up every day.
She did.
Where she would say, today is the theme of so and so. So, you know, tune in. So that those were nice too. Mm-hmm.
And so did Teresa. And so did Serendipitous Anachronisms. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's Summer. So I think that's a she. I'll be corrected if not. A lot of Twitter activity and some Facebook too, but most of the Facebook was confined to our page. Did we mention like that page?
Please.
It was overwhelming at times, but it was really, really awesome.
I got an idea from Keith too, that next year or next time, I think I'm going to take a day off or a week off or something. There's so much great writing. I mean, you got to have, you know, some time. So nice Criterion Blogathon vacation.
This was one of the comments at Criterion that somebody said, you know, when you're not watching them, why not read about them?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's so true. Here you go.
and some people, I mean, there's so many, and I also had 2 days off work, and those weren't intended to match up with the, I mean, I didn't take them off for the blogathon, I just happened to have them off, but, and I needed them off. But so many people, you know, I would not expect the average person to be able to read as much as we three did. You know, we probably read hundreds of thousands of words, I think, if you were to count them all up. Mm-hmm. But some people said they're going to spend their holidays reading all these. And Mark, you mentioned something of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, having a busy week, I was only able to catch up with a few. So I'm going to, you know, read some more over the coming weeks and even save them up. What I'll do sometimes with podcasts is if I know there's a show out there where they've covered a particular film, I'll wait and listen to the podcast after the film. So this is a great archive of reviews of Criterion movies you can go back and read later. So
And it will be updated too. Like we just updated this morning. I've switched it over now from a basic schedule to all the actual links, and we keep adding them, you know, and then we'll sort them through where they belong. But there's a special section at the bottom for anybody who's looking for the most recently added. So, you know, make sure that you go there too and keep up with it.
Yeah, there's, and we'll get into this here in a moment, but still great stuff coming in. And I expect that'll continue because, you know, it takes a while to write these things, as we've all found out and a lot of people have found out. But the passion that people put into them is fantastic. So, okay, well, I think we've kind of covered the best part. Just the whole thing's awesome, right, ladies?
Everything is awesome.
Everything's awesome. Lego movie.
Cute right. Song.
I don't know. Do we have the rights to that song? No. So what was the toughest part? And I know we already said the voting was the toughest, but what do you think, Christina?
Well, the toughest part was choosing from among all this great stuff, and everything else was easy. There was no tough parts because everything else was so enjoyable. I would say maybe organizationally the toughest part came before it even started, a few weeks before, when you were trying to work out a structure for daily themes, and not if you made themes, would it even out to a kind of an even spread of posts each day? And that was kind of tough for you to figure out, but you did a great job with that too. I mean, that was fantastic the way you worked that.
it really has been a blur, but did I do that?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure you.
Yep.
Well, you know, it that was tough. Yeah, actually, that's right. I did. But just because the criteria, like you mentioned, they're so diverse, you know, that one category had every genre you can think of.
But that was a great way to do it, because I think at first we were like, do we just split decades or do we, you know, whatever, but it came out really well.
And we tweaked it a little bit, because that's right, because at first we had it go into the war. Because we thought the war would be a natural jumping off point, but then actually, Christina, you caught that would have put a lot more essays in day one, and so we changed it to 47, I think, and that it evened it out some.
Yeah, we shifted the years over, and that really spread out the posts for the English speaking ones anyway. But that type of stuff. It was just the tinkering with it, you know, in preparation was challenging, I guess, in a way. But like I said, the actual week has not been. It's been a joy to read it all.
And there are a lot of English people love their English films. Mm-hmm. What about you, Ruth?
What I found challenging was it was a very busy week aside from the blogathon, and it was challenging to read. It wasn't challenging to read all the blogs in time to vote or for the recap that night. It was a challenge to savor the blogs. And what I've done is I've bookmarked quite a few that I'm going to go back and reread just because I was really aware of the clock. And I felt like I was cheating myself out of the experience in a way of really thinking about the blogs, of really thinking about them after. I have done a lot of thinking since reading them, but there were some that I just thought were so special. And I want to go back and make more more astute comments. So, and that's my goal over the next, I won't be doing it over the next couple of weeks, but I will be doing it over the next few months.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. I would actually say the same. It wasn't the reading, it was getting to all the reading. And even though I even had 2 days off, it just seemed like every time I would be reading one, another one would come, well, actually another 10 would come in. And I loved reading them, and they were all extremely enjoyable. But I guess avoiding the temptation to speed read them or to skim them, and you know, I did read every word, but it would have been easier if I didn't. And then again, trying to decide on favorites, you know, it's tough to, because there a lot of them are apples and oranges too. You know, it's tough to evaluate against each other, and you know, really all were great.
That's true, Aaron. Like a lot of times if I read a post that's it really seems profound, it really strikes a chord in me, I'd like to think about it for 10 or 20 minutes, or maybe think about it for an hour or something, and just sort of, how is this affecting me? How does this affect the way I see the film? You know, and then make a comment on it. And this time I felt I didn't have the time to do what I'd like to do with that. So
I think maybe for something on this scale, it might also work to do, even have like a deadline, and then have like a month or something then to collect all the links and present them as a collection of links that people can go back to, and, you know, instead of like having it a daily race, for example.
You know what, Christina, I love that idea, because I feel it would be, for me, a more judicious way, not maybe more judicious, but I feel like for myself as a reader, as someone who enjoys reading about film, I would really like that extra time to just really absorb what people are saying.
Well, we conceived the 6 days, I think, before we realized how many, and in fact, at first it was going to be three. Boy, imagine what that would have been like.
Can you imagine? It would have been like an earthquake.
It would have been, that probably would have been gone beyond fun for me. It would have been too much. Well, okay, and there were, again, we've raved about the posts, but there was a lot of posts that didn't get prizes that we loved, we had to make a lot of tough decisions. So, what post, and I'll start with you, Ruth, what post did you really cherish that did not get awarded prizes?
Just for sake of time, I'm just going to limit it to two. One that I really liked for portrait was The Lady Eve's Real Life. She did a portrait of Max Ophuls. And I'm a fan of her blog anyway, but I liked how she incorporated, like she threaded through her post the biographical information on the director with the film Le Rondo. And she makes writing look really easy. And this is many years of copy editing experience talking here. She makes writing look like it's just like water flowing out of a tap. I really loved it. I would have to say a second post, and this one was my absolute favorite of the blogathon, was the blog Interested in Sophisticated Fun, the Tulane Blacktop.
Oh, okay. That's Keith.
Yep, it's our friend Keith Silva.
I thought he was so clever. I thought that his way of structuring his 55 points, I thought it was poetic. I thought it had a real beat to it. And I told him later, we were messaging, and I said, you know, you should do this live in front of an audience because it's just that good. I thought it was, I just cannot rave enough about it. I loved it.
He was on the show a few weeks ago, and we had an audio malfunction. But yeah, Keith is tremendous, and as I mentioned, I would have voted him humor. He's a funny guy. Mark, we probably shouldn't tell him that, should we?
No, probably not.
We're never going to hear the end of it.
I think I have an idea with Ruth's idea what we're going to do, because Keith lives a quarter mile from me. We're going to set it up, and I'll do the production, and he'll do the performance. So it's got to happen. It's a good idea.
It's got to happen.
I might have to edit this out because we can't let this go to Keith's ego. I'm kidding. All right, Christina. So what were your favorites that did not get prizes?
Well, I had those two on my list of whatever half dozen here, so I'm going to skip those two now that they've been acknowledged. I love those as well. I'm going to pick, I'm going to pick one of the ones that just came in at the last minute, and that is Nitrate Diva, a wonderful post about her journey through discovering her love of film and discovering great films through Criterion, and it was a very personal, very nicely done personal essay. And I mean, she's always so good. She does such good writing, and that's I like it. I like those personal angles, because movies are so important. You know, where you attach them in your development and your memory and everything. They're so personal anyway, and I love when people write about those things. And that was a nice one. Okay, so the one that was really interesting to me was a profile one that I had picked one day was at the Wrong Reel. James had a Von Sternberg Silent Classics post, which was really nice. So I like that one as well.
Great posts, both great posts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any more, or just you're sticking to two as well?
Well, if I'll just make mention of one that's introduced me to movies that I want to take a look at soon, was the one at Pinland Empire, which looked at close-up and Taste of Cherry. So those are totally new to me movies, and when somebody writes in a post that movies have changed their life, then I want to take a look at those movies. I want to see what they are. So,
rumor has it that a certain podcast was named after one of those movies.
Yeah, okay. That's, well, there you go. See,
and actually, I haven't seen the film that it was named after.
Well, a bunch of people have told me through this blogathon that I have to see Close Up, so mm-hmm. I will do that.
And you'll probably see it before one. Me. I'm a big fan of. Taste of Cherry. I'm a big fan of that. It's not for everybody. It's tougher, but for me, it's amazing. Well, I'm sorry. Are you done?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, I could go on, but that'll do.
Me too. Maybe if you want to send me lists of the other ones, we can put them in the show notes as honorable mentions. Because
people can just look at the roster and they'll all be good. You can't go wrong.
Well, I'm gonna go with three. So I'll go with one, which was I Will Buy You, which was Kobayashi, Rod Penniflor's. He also was a big advocate on Twitter. And he worked in a personal baseball story with that, which I thought was really neat. I appreciated that. And also it was a good analysis of the film. I actually was going to go with Aurora because I think that's a great post, but I'll go with a different one. In fact, pretty much every post that came in late of the last day was just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm, they're great.
And actually I'm going there. I could go with a lot of them, but the last day especially was exceptional, and I think that's just because you had these long essays. There's the Nicholas Rogue, that was great too, but I'm going to go with the noir, Criterion Through Noir, and I forget the name of that blogger off the top of my head.
Cinema Cities.
Cinema Cities, thank you. Exceptional post, very comprehensive. The way I commented, it was like an encyclopedia, but fun. It was so informative and so fun to read, and I love those films. And I think noir is, you don't think of noir really with Criterion, but there's so much of it. And then the other one was Christianity, and that was Threadonia.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
That's a website that wasn't on my radar. I have no idea how they found us. But they looked at a lot of Christian-themed films, but it wasn't just like, this movie is Christian, this movie's Christian. But they looked at like what these movies said about the approach and the, sociological opinions towards Christianity that have taken place or shaped over the last century or so. And so I thought that was both informative and actually really interesting to read their perspectives. So, great essays all around.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Aaron, if I could just mention a couple that stood out to me, too. I really liked Tim Lego's piece on Videodrome. I thought that was great. I loved the title, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Buying Multiple Copies of the Same Film. He, a little bit near and dear to my heart because he does get into the whole region releasing piece and did talk about both the Arrow release and the Criterion release. To like that. And also, I just want to congratulate all three of you again, because you're not eligible for awards, but all of your writing in Cold Blood, Akiru, and Apu was top notch. Great post. You guys really represent the blog community well. So nice work.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And actually, I'd said you were not eligible, but I'm not just reciprocating the compliment, but we actually did discuss your blog. We're like, wow, Mulholland Drive is good. And we had to wonder if we were going to make you eligible and go back on our, but some good entries, some really good entries came up later. And so I think yours was award worthy and I really enjoyed it. And you're somebody that you're a podcaster. You're not really a blogger.
Right.
So I thought it was great.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. It was fun to write. I would mention too, I mean, as far as challenging goes, a note to self, make sure you write your reviews before the blogathon actually starts. So you have time to read everyone else's So, doing the weekly show, it's just, for me, it's hard to make that time to write, but you get those ideas swimming around in your head and finally put pen to paper. It was a blast to do. So glad we did it.
So thank you, especially to all the bloggers. I don't know how many hundreds,
150 maybe, I'm guessing.
I'm guessing between 150, 160.
Yeah.
There were some no-shows, and I think some late posts are still going to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But no, thank you guys for...
Yes.
And girls, for bringing up your game and for really putting everything into these posts. They were tremendous.
Yes.
And Christina, Ruth, it was great going on this ride with you.
Thank you for having us on the ride. It must be this tall to ride, and it was a lot of fun.
And the ride's not ending. We're probably going to be in this for a few weeks still.
It was fun. It was so fun, and I have to say an extra thank you to all these wonderful bloggers who put so much work and time and love into their writing, and it really shined through, and it was a joy to read them all.
It really was. Thank you very much, bloggers, for saving us film school tuition.
Yeah, that's right.
And if we didn't mention anybody's name, don't take it personally. There's just so many, and mm-hmm. and really, we loved these posts, so we just really, really enjoyed them. So, okay, well, our blogathon segment is finished. Yay! Or should we play Beastie Boys again?
Always good for any occasion.
We're playing it right now, baby. All right, Mark, I'll send it back to you.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining us. The Criterion Blogathon wrap-up, and just wanted to tell folks where to find us online. You can find us at CriterionCloseUp.com. You can find the show on Facebook/CriterionCloseUp.com and Twitter at @CriterionCU. You can find me, Mark Herney, on Twitter at Mark Herney. It's H-U-R-N-E. And also on Letterboxd, the same place. And I have a link to my blog there. How about you, Aaron?
AWES505. Mm-hmm. Christina?
H-Q-O-F-K. H-Q-O-F-K.
Oh, on Twitter, we should mention.
Yeah, on Twitter, important. Yes, right. On Twitter, right.
And Ruth?
925 screenings on Twitter.
925.
So yeah, and again, thank you for all the interaction that folks have and love with folks who interact with everyone on the show. I definitely pick up Christina and Ruth. If you'll follow them, you'll love some of the stuff that they're posting, so definitely do that. And as we mentioned before, would love some Facebook likes. Get us to that 1,000 likes.
1,000,
it's a milestone. And next week, as I mentioned before, we are going to be talking about the Brian De Palma film, Dressed to Kill. Probably no subtopic, just the news and the review itself. So we'll look forward to that. And so that is Criterion Close-Up. Again, I'm Mark Herney with Aaron West. We'll talk to you next time, and we'll have Mrs. Robinson send us out.
Here's to you, Mark. Here's to you, Christina. And here's to you, Ruth. And here's to you... Thank you.